Lunch with Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
Well, it's time to welcome you to our brand new retirement feature. Over the course of the next 12 weeks, we'll be exploring various aspects of retirement, from the economic considerations to issues around lifestyle, social well-being, and both physical and psychological health as well. We'll look at the role children have to play in helping parents transition to retirement, how to manage the downsizing process. We'll talk about everything from travel to technology and more. Different guests each week who are all experts in their own fields, but we want to start today with a bit of an overview. Look ahead so you can decide what's next and best for you with the leaders in retirement living, Evergreen Lifestyles, offering you a partnership for life on Cape Talk. Now, earlier this week, I sat down with Arthur Case, who is the CEO of Evergreen Lifestyle Villages, who were South Africa's first national retirement brand established in 2008. And we chatted about some of the key decisions that need to be made and the key factors that need to be considered before deciding on your retirement plans. Arthur, the last time we spoke, which was right about this time last year, you had 5 retirement villages fully operational in SA. I know that number has climbed since because you have your first residence in occupation in Noordhoek, if I'm not mistaken, and I think launching phase 2 this very week.
Hi, Pippa. Absolutely. Yes, we opened Noordhoek phase 1 a while ago. Mm. It's a lovely village. It sits just above the Atlantic Ocean with views towards Chapman's Peak. Mm. And phase 1 is sold out and occupied, and what a great bunch of people have moved in there. And yes, we're going to be launching phase 2, which is the next 35 homes. The first 47 are occupied, 35 more on the way, but ultimately it'll be a 300-unit village.
Fantastic. Now, in the coming weeks, Arthur, we're going to have several different in-depth conversations with you and with other guests around everything from saving for retirement to managing the tax implications to some of the health and social implications as well. But before we get to any of those conversations, and particularly conversations about the numbers, I think it's important to have an overview of what we need to think about, what we're saving for, and what sort of lifestyle we hope to enjoy in retirement. Because the current retirees or those who are approaching retirement age have quite different expectations, don't they, to what their parents might have had.
Absolutely. We could maybe start there. You know, the famous baby boomers, as they're called, they are now moving into the retirement space, and they've got very different aspirations to their parents. Their parents, I think we call them the silent generation, and they were people that went through the war and didn't complain and accepted things the way they were. And the model at the time was the nursing home and the old age home, as people called it. The boomer is very different. I'm one of them. We're a very independent bunch. We reshaped the world of work, and we determined also to reshape retirement. So we want to retire on our own terms, and that means we decide when we're going to retire. And in fact, some people are going to carry on working long beyond conventional retirement age. In fact, many are saying that retirement as we know it is actually obsolete. But they're looking for more of a lifestyle product. They want to be able to ensure that they are safe and secure, that they can afford it. People worry about outgrowing or outliving their retirement savings. That's a big thing in South Africa. But they also want to know that in time, if they find themselves in a situation where they need care, that that care is available without having to move again. And that makes your selection of a retirement village or product very important.
Yeah. There's also a huge awareness of the social implications of retirement, isn't there? There's no longer just needing to have a safe space that you can afford to live in. We want more in terms of the community that we want to live in.
Yes, we do. In fact, we want to retire in beautiful places. Most people want to retire close to where they were living when they were still working, close to the family home, because their whole support structure, usually their family, their friends, their doctors, and other important elements are close by. So the destination retirement model is not common, where people will disappear off to a beautiful beach resort or somewhere in the mountains, unless, of course, the children have moved. We do find that seniors will follow their children from Gauteng to Cape Town or vice versa. But yes, so they're looking for a beautiful place to stay, and they're looking for a social environment. You know, people want to enjoy that retirement year that they've, or retirement years that they've worked hard for. I always use the phrase they want to enjoy sipping Chardonnay on the patio. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to do that unless you are in a beautiful space. So the built environment is very important. The safety and security is very important. It's high on our priority list, but also then the social environment. I think when you, a lot of people are nervous about moving into retirement villages because of the old, let's call it the old label of, you know, I'm being put out to pasture now, I'm being put into a retirement village. But I think more and more people are realizing this is a really fine way to be able to lock up and go, travel overseas and visit the kids, do the things you enjoy, meet up with other like-minded people and make friends. So that, you know, our villages, and the amazing thing, Pippa, is that all we do at Evergreen is we create the envelope and we create the built environment. And once these folk get together, I mean, they have the most fantastic time. The clubs are formed, friendships are formed, events take place. Their social lives in our villages are unbelievably busy.
Yeah.
And some of the best parties I've been to happen at retirement villages.
What happens in Evergreen stays in Evergreen.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the big picture of whether there is enough of this kind of offering and any kind of retirement offering, in fact, in South Africa. I know you've described us as having a very fragmented retirement market. What do you actually mean by that?
Well, by fragmented, I mean that, you know, if you compare us to markets like New Zealand and Australia and certainly North America and Europe, where retirement has been around and retirement villages have been around for a long time. It's very established. It's very organized. In South Africa, we are quite new at this. We've moved away from this nursing home to the lifestyle retirement village. And what I meant by fragmented was, though, that, you know, when you're a senior and you're over 65, you're dealing with healthcare providers, you're dealing with financial services providers, you're dealing with retirement village providers, and I don't think that these different players are getting together and putting together products that work for the senior. That's happened in other countries, so we need to get there. A good example is, you know, we build world-class frail cares and care centers, but at this point in time, medical aids don't pay for frail care, so there's a post-retirement healthcare funding for many people. So I think in time, you're going to see that the leaders in the industry from all of these sectors are going to be talking to each other and developing, let's call them integrated products that are going to be useful to the retired person.
Let's hope so. Now, it's the retirement market per se is a relatively small one in terms of size of population in South Africa. The big question, Arthur, is there enough suitable retirement stock available in the market to meet those demands?
You know, we believe absolutely not. I can't tell you exactly how big my target market is, but we do know that there's 4.89 million people over the age of 65. Of course, many of those can't afford the retirement product that we offer, but the market is plenty big enough for those who are investing in building retirement villages today. And there definitely is a shortage of stock. Even at a time like this where the property market is really soft in South Africa, we're seeing strong demand for retirement villages.
The proof is in the length of the waiting lists, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Interestingly, waiting lists can be a misnomer because sometimes if it's easy to put your name on a waiting list, you'll find that some people will put their names on six. So we don't really do the waiting list thing, but the demand is strong. And, you know, we've got our launch, as I said, of our Nurtec phase two. And, you know, very quickly we had 120 people who wanted to be there, and they're all qualified buyers who already know about us and want to come and see the new product.
Tells you the level
so
of interest.
So demand is strong.
Of course, as you've already referenced, not everybody can afford the kind of model that Evergreen offers. We've got other options in South Africa, social housing, subsidized nursing homes, etc., which means there are lots of players at work here. There are private bodies, there are government bodies, churches, NGOs, etc. Can you give us an overview of the kinds of models that are available within those different options?
Yes, well, in fact, if you're talking about the purchase model, Pippa, in fact, really, I guess the models are, I can just count them off for you. There is the traditional sectional title or freehold retirement village. Then there is the LifeRight model, which we are very excited about. There are still some villages that are based on a share block model. I see sometimes people are talking about reverse mortgages, which enable people to fund a lifestyle late in life. Not very popular, and there are risks attached to that. And then, of course, if you talk about the lower socioeconomic groups, there's a rental model. So those are the main ones. And as I said, in our organization, we are very committed to the LifeRight model. It is really the predominant model in some of those advanced countries I mentioned earlier, and we believe it's perfectly suited to the needs of middle and upper in middle income South Africans.
Why is that? Can you elaborate a little bit about why you believe so strongly in the Life Right model?
Well, it just got so many features, and I'm just going to list a few of them. I mean, the first is that you've got security of tenure for life. It is the strongest property right in South Africa. It's like a lease, but better than a lease, because you know a lease trumps ownership. A lease is for a term. A life right is literally for life. Yeah. It's protected by an act of parliament. So you know that you are secure in that home for the rest of your days. The second thing that is really exciting about life rights is that most of the developers that are in the life right space are making sure that they keep their levies in check. Because there are no perverse incentives in this model. You know, nothing against sectional title. I love the fact that South African retirees have choice. But the sectional title model, once a developer has sold the last unit, he moves on. Whereas in the life right model, the life right developer is committed literally for life. Mm. And so there are no perverse incentives. What's good for the life right holder is generally good for the life right developer. So if you don't look after your people, if you don't create a great lived experience, if your levies become unaffordable or too expensive, then you are damaging your own product. So that tension, if you like, that constructive tension between the two partners, we talk about a partnership for life, I think is what makes it great. Then there are other things like no special levies. That's a biggie. If you're in a large retirement complex, when it ages, it needs spend. The Act precludes the developer from charging special levies, which are quite common in other forms of retirement village. There's no VAT, there's no tax, at least no transfer duty. So all of those kind of benefits are there for the life right purchaser. And I can even add flexibility around purchase pricing, that one can actually create a balance between the purchase price and the terminal capital. So if you need to reduce the price of the unit to accommodate a purchaser, you simply adjust the terminal capital at the end of the termination of the life right. It's really a great flexible product that I think suits many South Africans.
Okay, thanks for that explanation. Obviously, whatever model you're going with, this is a long-term decision, Arthur. It requires long-term financial planning, which we're going to look at in depth in next week's segment. But it's about more than just planning for your physical tenure and security. Obviously, the healthcare you've mentioned, one of the key concerns. You need to know that should your health start to fail, should you develop complications, you have somewhere to turn for help.
Absolutely. The healthcare is really important, and particularly so with the life right model, because you don't want to, the one thing you want to do with a life right is a fantastic product. It's not a financial investment. It is a lifestyle investment. So you don't want to have to terminate that lifestyle investment prematurely, because that would not be financially good for you.
Yeah.
So in life right villages, you need to make sure that you have a what we call continuous care, that you're able to provide a clinic that provides primary health care to young, healthy, retired people when they need it, that you're able to provide home-based care, that you can go on to frail care, and of course the scourge of our age is the onset of dementia, which is growing at a rapid rate around the world. And you have to be able to take care of that purchaser who put their faith in you, bought a life right when they were 65 and they were healthy and vibrant, and now they are having to address a healthcare problem. So in all of our new villages, we're building larger villages to make sure that we can keep our levies in check. The levy economics work well with larger villages, and each of those will have an extensive care center that provides what we call continuous care. So there's never going to be a need to leave the village once you've acquired your life right and you've settled in.
You're talking there about economies of scale. It's a big thing to consider, that it might be attractive to think I'll buy into a small boutique retirement village, Arthur, but you run the risk there of not benefiting from those economies of scale.
Yes, and look, there are those purchasers who are more comfortable financially, who will opt for the boutique village ahead of the larger village, and are prepared to foot the higher bill in terms of levies. But we think going forward that larger villages are the right thing to do. We've done our research. This is what happens around the world. And with modern design and with smart villages, you can create the most beautiful spaces. Noordhoek Village, as I said, over 300 units when it's finished. We are busy coming out the ground at Valdevie in Paarl. That's going to be a 640-unit village. We are also developing very soon in KZN. We've got two beautiful pieces of land at Mshlanga and Zimbali near Belito. Those will also be 600-700 unit villages. So scale is, we believe, the answer. And you really can, with scale and economies of scale, you can keep those levies in check. It's interesting, when people purchase retirement product, they are less concerned about the purchase price than they are about levy escalation. Mm. And you can understand that.
Absolutely.
We don't know how long we're going to live. And so levies and levy increases are really important.
Okay. It's tempting for some, particularly those who really value their independence, Arthur, to think, I'm going to stay where I am. I want to stay in my own home for as long as possible. It can be a very costly mistake, though, in the long run, can't it?
I think, look, everybody's different, and I wouldn't want to suggest on this program that everybody is going to be suited to a retirement village.
Mm.
But I think that there are thousands of people who decide to stay and retire at home that would have been much happier in a retirement village. You know, they say that people live longer, stronger, and happier when they live in communities. That's been researched. So yes, you know, don't underestimate the cost of managing your own family home. You know, you're going to have to pay for security because, as crime is in the country today, you're going to have to worry about maintenance. And then, you know, if you do need care in the home, you're going to have to bring in domestic and healthcare services. Based on this program, that everybody is going to be suited to a retirement village.
Mm.
But I think that there are thousands of people who decide to stay and retire at home that would have been much happier in a retirement village. You know, they say that people live longer, stronger, and happier when they live in communities. That's been researched. So yes, you know, don't underestimate the cost of managing your own family home. You know, you're going to have to pay for security because, as crime is in the country today, you're going to have to worry about maintenance. And then, you know, if you do need care in the home, you're going to have to bring in domestic and healthcare services. So we often think, we often see that sometimes people make that purchase choice just too late, and they don't get the benefit of enjoying, you know, the retirement lifestyle while they're young and healthy, and they simply arrive already needing care.
Yeah.
Because a spouse has passed on or there's been a healthcare challenge, and then they make the call. Much better, I think, to make that call sooner, settle in and enjoy the lifestyle.
So plan ahead. Don't leave the decision making too late. Any other sort of closing tips for our audience on the big picture things to consider in advance?
Well, I think I would say that I think for so many South Africans, I was reading the Sanlam benchmark survey recently. So few people have enough savings to maintain their current lifestyle. I think the number is somewhere around 19% if you're part of a closed fund, and something like 14% if you're part of an umbrella fund. So people haven't saved well for retirement. And what they then do is they put their heads in the sand and just think, well, the problem will solve itself somehow going forward. It's not going to do that. So plan early, find a retirement a solution that works for you. Whether it's retiring at home, you're going to need to do some planning to make that work properly for you. But then if you are looking at a retirement village, choose the location first, see where you want to be, because that's where you're going to put your roots down for your final years. And then research the product very carefully. Make sure that you look at things like, you know, the services available, what's included in the levy, is there health care, what's the reputation of the village? Are people there known to be happy, or is it I mean, we had someone recently who purchased at our Evergreen Musenberg village.
Mm.
And I happened to speak to him a few weeks later, and I said, well, what made you choose? Because he'd been looking at a number of alternatives. And he said, when I walked into Musenberg, everybody was smiling.
Hmm.
And that was it, made the call for me. So make sure it's a happy place, and make sure it's an environment that inspires your soul. You know, these are your last years. You want to enjoy them and get the most out of them.
So that was Arthur Case, the CEO of Evergreen Lifestyle Villages. Next week, we're taking a closer look at some of the key economic considerations around saving for retirement. Eric Jordan of Crew Invest will be my guest in studio, and I hope you'll join us there.